3 with some very familiar verses, beginning at verse 16, that great verse. We'll read down through verse 19, and then we're going to look at our message on this Christmas Eve called Christmas Lights. Let's begin reading at John chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Dear Father, tonight we thank you as we come together here in this place on a Christmas Eve. Father, I just pray you'd be pleased and honored and glorified. I pray that we would bring you the majesty and glory that is deserving you from our lips and from our hearts. And Father, I pray that you'd open the lips of your servant to speak in the heart of every person to receive the word of God, whether they're here tonight, whether they're watching, whether they're listening, that Father, you might reach out to our hearts by your word and by your Holy Spirit and minister to us tonight as only you can. We love you, and we ask that you might magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people, save the lost. Well, thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many things which have come to be associated with Christmas. We think of Christmas, we think of gifts, we think of poinsettias, we think of carols, we think of food, we think of family, we think of lights. But really, there's nothing more important to be associated with Christmas than Christ. Christ, the Bible says, in all things is to have the preeminence. And not just the preeminence at Christmas time and Christmas Eve, but he's to have the preeminence all throughout the year. He's supposed to have the preeminence in our lives, the preeminence in our dealings, the preeminence in our hearts, minds. Most of the things associated with Christmas in America have Christian significance. It's been said that the Christmas tree represents everlasting life. The Christmas lights represent Christ, the light of the world. And the candy cane, it's been said, is a picture of the blood, purity, and a symbol of the great shepherd. Though some would like to disparage such associations, I see in them what I want to see in them, and you can see in them what you want to see in them. I happen to see Christ in them. One tradition that may have its manifestation in our area is to drive around at night and see Christmas lights. Of course, it's always a little nicer when you have more snow than when it's green. I think we're having a spotted Christmas. It's half snow, a little bit of snow here, a little bit of green there. But isn't it nice to drive around in the night and see those Christmas lights glowing and the snow and all that? It's beautiful. Tonight we're going to take a little ride through the Bible. And we're going to see God's Christmas lights. And the first one we're going to find is in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, if you'd like to turn there. The first Christmas light, our first stop on our drive through the Bible to see the lights of God, is the captain of light. And we go to Hebrews chapter 2, and we look at verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2, let's look at verse 9. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, the reason I took you here is I wanted you to see that phrase, captain. He's the captain of our what? He's the captain of our salvation. Now go with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. That famous Christmas story. Luke chapter 2. But I want you to go over and look at verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. So in Hebrews chapter 2, he's called the captain of our what? Salvation. In Hebrews chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, verse 25, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. When this man looked upon the Lord Jesus, he did not just see a baby, he did not just see a human being, he saw salvation. My eyes have beheld and my eyes have seen thy salvation." He recognized in this child, this baby, God's Christ, God's Messiah, the Savior. And then he said this in verse 31, "which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." And look what he calls them in verse 32. What's he call them? "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And so here he is. He's our salvation. He's the captain of our salvation. And he is the light. And so he is the captain of light. He's the captain of light here. And in John chapter 8, verse 12, he's called the light of the world. In John chapter 1, verse 14, he is called the light of men. In John chapter 1 and verse 9, he's called the true light. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, look at verse 22. God talking about the new heaven and the new earth. It says, verse 22, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb," and we know that the Lamb is the Lord Jesus, "the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there." And so here's the Lord Jesus, who is the light. The Bible says God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. The Bible tells us that here Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is the light of the new Jerusalem. He's the light of the new heaven and earth, and there'll never be any darkness. There'll never even be a shadow in the new heaven and earth. Isn't that amazing? Jesus Christ is the captain of light. Let's go to our next stop as we go to Psalm number 119. Let's go there. Light number two. Psalm 119, verse 105. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We have the composition of light. You see, the captain of light is the Lord Jesus, and the composition of light is the Word of God. A composition is a literary, artistic, or musical production. The Bible is God's literary composition for mankind. And it's unlike any other literary composition in that it is inspired and inerrant and infallible and incorruptible and immutable. It's the product of the Almighty God. It has a characteristic most illuminating in that it both exposes the pitfalls and dangers of sin and reveals the way of eternal life. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, the Bible says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." It's sad that so many people look at the Bible and they see it as a negative thing because it speaks against sin and it condemns sin and it pinpoints sin. But it's a way of life. The wages of sin is what? Death. And so the Bible warns us about sin. Why? Because that's not life. To live in sin is to live in death, but to live in accordance with the Word of God is to live in life. Who has composed so wonderful a revelation, or so glorious a volume, or so blessed a book as the one we have called the Bible? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verses 3 and 4, it says that the Word of God is the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Turn with me there, if you would. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Look at verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So here we're again, we have the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned as light. We have the Word of God mentioned as the light. The Word of God is a light that shines in the darkness of this world to lead us on to the truth of salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say this. Christmas is Jesus, isn't it? Christmas is Christ. We hear that all the time. Anything that is more important than Jesus is out of place. Isn't it? And the Bible say that he should have the preeminence in all things? Why? Because he's the captain of light. Why? Because his word is the composition of light. Let's go to our third stop, and that is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Our first stop, we see Jesus. The second stop, we see the Word of God. The third stop, we see the children of light. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, I recall when Jesus was instructing his disciples, and he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And he said, without me, you can do nothing. So the fruit that we have as branches comes from the vine of the Lord Jesus, correct? Now he says, here we're the light of the world. But what light do we have, really? We have no light in and of ourselves. Because in and of ourselves, as sinners, as human beings, we have nothing more to offer than the darkness of the world. We were part of the darkness. We were in the darkness. The Bible says he took us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he made us children of light. So the light that we have is only the light that comes from the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not us shining, it's him shining through us. As the candle has no power to produce light by itself, it must be fired, it must be lit. We have no power to bring light either, unless we are lit by the divine fire of the Holy Spirit of God. Those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ as Savior have been born again by the Spirit of God into the family of God and are called the children of light. Why? Because God is light. And if I'm a child of God who is light, and the Bible says I become a partaker of the divine nature, what is his nature? His nature is light. So if I'm a child of God, I have his nature, now I am a child of light. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful transformation has taken place. Now some of you here this morning, perhaps you didn't spend much time in the darkness of this world. Praise God for that. I spent some time in the darkness of this world. And when Jesus Christ came into my life and lit me up by His Holy Spirit and made me a child of light, I could see the difference. I could feel the difference. I can't forget the difference. It's a privilege to be a child of light. The world is born in darkness, but the children of God are born in light, by the light. 1 John 1:5 is where the Bible says God is light. And the Lord Jesus told all who would listen to in John chapter 12, verse 36, He said, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, we are told, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Maybe you got saved when you were 4, 5, or 6, or 7. But you're still children of light. And if you hadn't gotten saved, you'd be children of darkness. Praise God, you didn't have to live in that darkness. But you had the privilege of walking in the light from an early age. Paul the Apostle, by inspiration of God, tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:5, "You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness." Isn't that wonderful? The New Testament believer is a repository of the light of Christ shining in a dark and dreary world. When He was here, He was the light of the world. When He left, He left us here as the light of the world. And as the light of the glory of God shone on the face of Moses after his physical encounter with God, the light of Christ should shine through the person and life of everyone who has had a spiritual encounter with Christ. I always remember that scripture where the disciples were in front of the council and the council recognized one thing about them. And it was this, that they had been with Jesus. I wonder what people recognize about us. Do they say, "Boy, she's been with Jesus. He's been with Jesus." As the children of light, our Father has provided for us the armor of light, Romans chapter 13, verse 2, and promises of an inheritance in light, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. In our first stop, we see the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. The second stop, we see the light, the Word of God. Third stop, we see the children of light, believers. But the last stop, we go back to John chapter 3, verse 16. There is the captain of light. There is the composition of light. There are the children of light. But then there's the condemnation of light. Look at John chapter 3, verse 16. We read this passage of Scripture. "The God of love, light and light, He's the God of love and light, shined His light into this world. The light of His Son, the light of His Word, the light of His children, so that those in darkness could be saved." You get the picture? The whole world was in darkness, and He shined the light of Jesus. He shined the light of the Word, and now He shines even the light of His children into that dark world so that they might see the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. refusal of the light leaves you in darkness, doesn't it? Look at verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. The message of Christ is not a message of condemnation. It's a message of salvation. He sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus is the greatest message of all. He is salvation. Look what it says in verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. When a person commits a crime, they are a criminal, whether they get caught or whether they get put in prison or not. Right? When you break the law, you're a lawbreaker. When you commit a crime, you're a criminal. Mankind are sinners because we have sinned against God. Jesus coming into the world didn't make us sinners. We were already sinners. We were already condemned, right? He didn't come to condemn us, he came to save us. That's what Christmas is all about. Romans 3:19 says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And so the word of God is to help us see our condition and our guilt. Why? So that we can run to the Savior to find forgiveness and eternal life. Adam brought sin and darkness into the world by disobeying the very first thou shalt not. And every human being since has been guilty of disobeying countless times, countless times, countless times. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But the Lord Jesus came that we might be saved from the just recompense of our sins. Romans 8:12 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death? Ezekiel said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the law of sin and death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. What did Jesus do? He came to deliver us from the law of sin and death. So now, have I sinned? Yes. Is my soul going to die? Am I going to spend eternity in the second death? No. Why? Because there is therefore now no condemnation. He came to save me from the condemnation that I already had, whether I owned up to it or not. You see why Jesus is such a big deal? You see why he's so important? You see why he's supposed to have the preeminence? We ought to be thankful that light came into the world. We ought to be thankful that the gospel shone into our lives and we trusted Christ and became children of light. When a person comes to Christ, the light of the world, the light of the gospel reveals his or her sin, her lost condition, and an available Savior. And then instills a new nature and repeals the condemnation. Christmas lights are beautiful to behold. Be sure that this Christmas, and not only at Christmas, but all through the year, you see and appreciate the true Christmas lights of the captain of light, the composition of light, the children of light, and how you've been delivered from the condemnation that light brings. You know, I have a black truck. They're beautiful when they're clean, aren't they? Nothing more shiny and classy looking than a black vehicle just been cleaned and waxed. Whew. That's beautiful. But it gets dirty like as soon as you get in it, as soon as you move it. You know what I've noticed? I can look at my vehicle when it's parked underneath the overhang here, and there's shade, and it looks like a brand new vehicle. Then I pull it out into the sunlight, and I see what, all these scratches on it. Where'd all those scratches come from? I didn't see them when they were in the shade. When did I see them? I saw them when they were in the light. When you look at your vehicle at night, it looks a lot cleaner than it does in the day. You see, the light exposes, doesn't it? And so Jesus came to show us our condition. The Word of God has been written to show us our condition. The children of light are to be a testimony and an example for people to see the difference and recognize their condition. And so in a way, the light will not only show you your condition, but the light of the Word also shows you how to take care of your condition by trusting Christ as your Savior. And in Titus chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says that we, children of light, now I want you to think of a Christmas tree. All right, we have one over here, but we don't have it plugged in. You have a Christmas tree. Now, I would have to imagine not one of you have a Christmas tree with nothing on it sitting in your living room. Nobody does that. A Christmas tree is beautiful. They're pretty trees, aren't they? But when we bring them in our house, what do? We decorate them, right? Listen to what the Bible says about us as Christians. In Titus chapter 2, verse 10 says, we are supposed to adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. We are the Christmas lights on the Christmas tree of God's doctrine. His doctrine is beautiful. His doctrine is good. But we are the Christmas lights that adorn the doctrine. In other words, they can't see doctrine. But they can see the lights that are the product of the doctrine, that adorn the doctrine, that bring attention to the doctrines of God. That's what we're supposed to be. You, dear Christian, are the ornaments and the lights of the gospel in this world. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to ask you tonight, as a Christian, as a born-again believer, as a child of light, do you not see God's love? Do you not see the value of what you have become in Christ? Do you not see the importance of your walk through this dark and dreary place as a light in the darkness? For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Let Christmas remind you and revive you so that He might reveal Himself through you. If you're here tonight, you're watching or listening, you've never trusted Jesus Christ, the light of the world, as your Savior, you're still in darkness. You're a child of darkness. He wants to transform you. He wants to make you a child of light by forgiving your sins and taking you into His own family and making you His own child. Christ offers the light of eternal life. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. On this Christmas Eve, are you sure you're saved? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Do you know Him whom to know is eternal life? Maybe tonight you'd say, preacher, I need Christ as my Savior. You might be watching. You might be listening. You need to stop whatever you're doing. And you need to bow your heart to the Lord Jesus and confess to Him that you're a sinner and ask Him to forgive you and call upon Him to come to you as your Savior and believe and receive Him as the gift of God. eternal life. Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we are unworthy of these things. We're not sufficient for them, as Paul said. And Lord, even when we get a glimpse of them, we only touch the hem of the garment. We'll spend eternity appreciating, loving, understanding that which we cannot hear. But Lord, while we're here on this earth, I pray it help us to be ornaments, that we might adorn the doctrines of God, that we might perform our duty, if you will, our purpose for being here, to be a light in the darkness, for someone to see, someone to come to hear about Christ. We'll take them to the light of the Word, which will tell them about the light of the world. Help us, Father, that our walk might bring them to the Word, and the Word could bring them to the light of the world. Bless our invitation as only you can. We'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing our closing hymn, number 236. Let's take our hymn books, and as we sing this hymn, maybe tonight you'd like to come and just spend a couple minutes with the Lord and just say, thank you, Lord, for coming into the darkness of my life. Maybe tonight you'd like to come and say, thank you, Lord, for coming into the darkness of my life at an early age so that I didn't have to wander around like others I know who lived in darkness. Maybe tonight you'd just like to come and say, Lord, I want to adorn the doctrine. I want to be that light that someone will see that will lead them to Jesus. We're going to sing. If you have any questions about salvation or going to heaven, I want you to come and see me as we sing on the first.